Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Before we start with our guest, Celia Edgar, I wanted to talk a bit with our special guest co-host, Tim Swartz, who's back this week. Tim, you were working on the last book that Tim Beckley had written before he died? What happened
yes.
with that?
Myself and Sean Castillo, we finished it, and it is now out and available on Amazon. It's called Dulce Warriors. It's actually, it's gotten a very good reception. You never can tell with our books. Sometimes, people will just treat them like that. It's the worst trash that they have ever seen come into their house, and then other times they can't stop singing the praises. So, but fortunately, this one it's turning out to be pretty popular.
So the criticism descends from normal commentary to, oh, just another Tim Beckley rehash. But we can't do that because Tim's no longer with us, and we all miss him. He was such an interesting character. What I'd like to do, Tim, is get you and Sean Castillo on the show to talk about that book, maybe in a few weeks, okay?
Yeah, sure.
By the way, speaking of interesting guests, in mid-February, we're going to be featuring Ralph Blumenthal of the New York Times. He's one of the three writers who wrote those pieces on UFOs in the Times starting in December of 2017. So he, Helene Cooper, who's the chief Pentagon correspondent for the Times, and Leslie Kane. So Ralph has also written a bio of John Mack. Of course, he did a lot of abduction research. He's a Harvard psychiatrist. So that will be really interesting. Celia Edgar, you're author of Just Another Tinfoil Hat Presents. Okay?
Yes.
Why that title?
Well, thank you for asking, by the way, because I use that term, Just Another Tinfoil Hat, across every platform that I'm on. And it actually stems, funnily enough, from the fact that I could not figure out a name when I first started my YouTube channel. And I was agonizing over it for, a couple of weeks probably. I was talking to my mom one day, and she was like, well, you know, because she, of course, had been subjected to hearing me hemming and hawing for, a couple of weeks. And so I was talking to her, and I finally just said, well, I really want to let people know that I'm trying to do something different. I'm trying to, have a really creative way of looking at this. I don't want them to think I'm just another tinfoil hat. And she looked at me and she said, well, that's it. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she was like, well, that's the name, Just Another Tinfoil Hat. And the more I thought about it, the more I liked it. It has a ring to it. So I've used that pretty much any place that I ever appear, kind of as my title. And when it came time to naming the book, I wanted to definitely keep it in that vein. But I'm also a huge fan, and this is kind of a little segue here. The way that I present my research, I really have high regard for Alfred Hitchcock and Rod Serling, how they presented their, yes, fictional stories, but on TV. They're just sort of the narrator to these bizarre events, these bizarre stories. That's where the presents came from. Just Another Tinfoil Hat Presents is especially my love for Alfred Hitchcock.
Alfred Hitchcock.
Oh,
that's the second imitation I do. The other one is Bond, James Bond. But on the other hand, Tim Swartz does 27 and a half voices.
Oh, am I supposed to do one now for you, Gene?
No, I don't do Porky Pig, okay?
No, I can't do Porky Pig.
Yeah. I once saw an interview with Mel Blanc about how he devised the imitation of Porky Pig, and he started out with the oink sound, and then somehow he modified that into a speaking voice. So, whereas Bugs Bunny is just some guy from Brooklyn. Everybody from Brooklyn says, what's up, Doc? No, they do not. We don't want to get into that. Zelia, let me ask you a serious question. And, you know, you're a young person compared to Tim and I. How did you get hooked up into searching the paranormal?
You know, it's one of those things where I can't remember a time I wasn't interested in generally just kind of weirder stuff, you know, and I think part of this has to do with growing up in the fantastically bizarre state of Wisconsin. Of course, we have a very rich paranormal history. And, you know, growing up, I was exposed to a lot of that. Specifically, I spent a lot of time with my mom's mom, my grandma, who lives in Platteville, Wisconsin, which is in the area known as the Driftless area. And it's got a really rich folklore. Not only that, but also two members of my family also experienced strange phenomena. They had their own personal experiences with mainly haunting type activity and also UFO sightings. There's that. And then when I was really little, my grandma actually had, and I can remember specifically, she had these Reader's Digest compendiums of like marvels and mysteries. Strange Stories, Amazing Facts was the other one. And so as soon as I learned how to read, I just absolutely loved those. You know, I was going through and all of the weird, very Freudian stories that they included in there had a really marked imprint on me. It was really solidified, however, when I was 8 years old and my mom thought that it might be fun to look into Bigfoot. Now, she remembered growing up in the 70s and all of those, like, you know, documentaries like the Peter Graves Monsters and Mysteries, where they talked about Bigfoot. And at the time, she really looked at it kind of as like an urban legend. She was like, okay, this will be fun. Nothing scary here. You know, it's kind of unbelievable, this giant, you know, ape-like thing living in America. So we can look into that, and that'll just be a fun time. Well, her plan didn't really work out exactly how she thought it would, because not only did she start to realize, hey, there seems to be more than just, you know, hoaxes and urban legends to the Bigfoot phenomenon. And now she even has a pretty devout interest in Bigfoot. But I was absolutely hooked. So at the age of 8 was when I really decided that cryptozoology, that was going to be kind of my life's mission. And that was further solidified when I was 10 years old and I got to meet Wisconsin researcher Linda Godfrey, of course, who has researched and investigated the Beast of Bray Road and assorted phenomena like that. Less than a year later, I got to meet Chad Lewis, another Wisconsin researcher. And really from that point on, the rest was history. So even though I started with, again, a really devout interest in cryptozoology and from the flesh and blood standpoint, my interest really did kind of wander through all related fields, especially, you know, spectrology and ufology, into its current scope. When I was in my late teens, I rediscovered John Keel's work through the Mothman Prophecies. And it actually wasn't the Mothman Prophecies. It was Operation Trojan Horse that kind of awakened me to the idea that these apparently different fields may actually be kind of interrelated and to look at things from a more high strangeness angle.
Well, I was just going to say, so did your mom regret getting you involved at first with Bigfoot? You know, now she looks back and says, you know, if I had just gone with paper cutout dolls or something like that, we wouldn't be here today.
I know, right? No, she actually, you know, so many people face a lot of kind of discrimination or even just kind of like people trying to laugh it off, especially in their families, for being interested in this field. And, you know, thankfully, my mom and even a lot of my, you know, extended family, like my grandma especially, they're all really supportive of me. And they think that, you know, they see my passion for this and they're like, she couldn't be doing anything else.
Do you actually have a day job or is this it?
I do. On the flip side, I also am very much into costuming. So my day job is as a costume seller and maker. So two kind of bizarre sort of off the wall things, but I make it work.
What kind of costumes?
Mainly like film and TV and anime recreations and stuff like that. I focus mainly on accessories because, you know, actual like the physical whole outfits are really, I do all of my work remote, so getting those measurements down is pretty difficult unless you can work with someone like, you know, who's able to visit you and you can take the proper measurements and tailor it and everything like that. But mainly like accessories. I actually started that, weirdly enough, with classical millinery. I was obsessed with the Victorian era in my mid-teens, and so I learned classic millinery and hat-making techniques, and it kind of spiraled from there.
So do you work with the film industry, TV industry, plays, what?
Nope, it's just all through my shop online. I'm actually an Etsy seller. That's how I have my products available for people.
That's the fancy eBay if you want something really different.
Yes.
You go to Etsy. Okay. I know this because my wife was looking for a mask. Obviously, we have to wear masks nowadays. The mask that was fancy, that looked different, and she went to Etsy for it. We have Zelia, we have Tim, we have Gene. And that means you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word GEORGE and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
The ghostly voices of Tim Swartz. Okay, Zelia, we know that you got involved in this at a real young age. Have you ever seen or experienced anything weird?
Yes, I have. And the really funny thing about it, because I've been asked, you know, that question quite a bit on different podcasts and stuff like that. And one person finally asked me, they were like, so do you think this has something to do with your interest? And weirdly enough, it took until that question for me to put two and two together and be like, oh, yeah, I am really interested in the paranormal. And I also happen to have had pretty much a lifetime of experiences, not anything super dramatic. And also, like, you know, not very consistently, but here and there, definitely had some out of the ordinary experiences. And the funny thing is, I really, when I, you know, look back on it, it's kind of like I just cataloged them away as another case, if that makes sense. So, yeah, and actually, too, you know, I mentioned previously that my extended family has also had a wealth of experiences. So, yeah, kind of an interesting history there.
Can you tell us a few specific cases where things were just so weird? You knew there was something unusual going on.
Sure thing. So my experiences have been mainly relegated to haunting type activity, UFO type activity. And in my particular way of looking at things, you know, I truly don't know if there's much of a distinction, but that's a whole nother topic. One of the weirdest haunting type occurrences happened many years ago. Actually, my house is a Victorian Gothic revival. And so my family knows every single family that's been. We actually know where the original builder is buried. We visit his grave on his death day, which is a little macabre, but, you know, pay respects and all that.
Little macabre?
You know, just a touch, right?
Oh, yeah, just a tad.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's really cool because it's only been in five families and then us. It's amazing to see that history, you know, and to be able to be like, okay, these are the people who lived here, and that just happens to be their headstone. This is the setting for this account. And again, this was many years ago, so I've got two younger sisters, and we were all kids. And the house actually came with a large picture mirror that was in the living room. And I really wonder if it actually was original to the house, because it was very old. And yeah, it just came with the house. And so in this picture mirror, we actually, you know, had the TV kind of in front of it, but you could still see, it was a huge mirror, so you could still see quite a bit reflected. And what you could really see reflected was actually the stairs leading to the second story. And so my mom had this friend of hers, and you know that as soon as she was on the phone with this lady, it was going to be like 3 hours. So on those evenings, my sisters and I would usually just watch cartoons. This particular night, she had just gone upstairs like about 20 minutes earlier, and we're watching SpongeBob, when all of a sudden I heard my mom come down the stairs, and in the picture mirror, I could see that she was descending the staircase. And so I paused the show, and my sisters were looking at me like, why'd you do that? You know, we want to watch SpongeBob. And so I was like, well, mom's coming downstairs. And then she just didn't enter the dining room or the living room from then. And so I was really confused because I also didn't see her go back up the stairs. It was one of those things where, you know, I kind of was like, just sort of tried to brush it off. I resumed the show, obviously. The night went on. Both of them fell asleep eventually. And then suddenly I was sitting there alone thinking about it. And so when my mom came downstairs, because this was also shortly after we moved into the house, so that would have been, gosh, probably in 2010 sometime, so that's a while ago now. So when my mom came downstairs, you know, I kind of pulled her aside and I was like, hey, I don't know how to explain this, but did you come down the stairs at some point during the night? And she said no, she hadn't. But then she got this weird look on her face. So she asked me why I thought she had come downstairs, and I was like, well, I thought I saw you in the mirror. But then I was realizing at the time, too, she wasn't wearing the same outfit that I had seen the person on the staircase wearing, and her hair was also different. The person on the staircase had been wearing white with long, dark brown hair parted in the middle, and that's not how my mom was wearing her hair. That's not what she was wearing at that time. She asked me then, and again, this weird look on her face was just growing weirder, and she asked me what time it was, and I was like, well, it was about 20 minutes after you went upstairs. And then she looked freaked out, and she told me that about 20 minutes after she had gone upstairs, her bedroom door opened, and she turned around and asked, you know, she was like, what do you want, sweetie, because she thought it was one of us. However, no one was there. So at around the same time, we both had a bizarre experience that you can't really account for very easily.
Oh, boy. And how old were you again?
Gosh, if that was 2010, I would have been probably around, like, 14, depending on when it was in the year.
So you're what, 25, 26 now?
Yep, I'm going to be 26 in about a month.
Oh, February what?
March 7th.
Oh,
so
March 7th.
I guess 7th. I'm jumping the gun a little bit. I always do that, yeah.
That's okay. That's okay. My brother, my late brother, the former pharmacy executive, was March 13th. And my son is February 19th. And that's significant because that is one of the versions of Batman's birthday.
Oh, seriously?
Seriously.
Oh, my gosh, that's awesome.
And the young man who played the young Bruce Wayne in the TV show Gotham, David Marsus.
Yeah.
He also was born on February 19th.
One of my favorite shows you just mentioned there, actually.
Gotham.
I know there's some differing opinions on it, but man, I liked that. But I'm a major Batman fan, too, though. But March 7th, two weird claimed fame, Stanley Kubrick and Woodrow Derenberger apparently died on March 7th. So, again, why slightly macabre, but there it is.
Are you into the TV show Batwoman?
No, I haven't seen that one yet. I didn't even know that was out. I'd heard something about it a while ago.
Okay, this is on the CW, same network that has all the superhero shows like The Flash and now Superman and Lois and everything. The only thing is here is that they had one actor, the cousin of Bruce Wayne, playing Batwoman in the first season. She quit the show, and there's a dispute over why. And so they had another person take over as Batwoman. So we had the white Batwoman. Now we have the black Batwoman, and she's in her second year. Now, the only thing I can say is I think you'll get into the show. They've got Poison Ivy now as the main big bad and yeah. A couple of others. I got lost on Gotham when the villains became more and more bizarre. I really did. I liked it the first couple of years, and then it got crazy. This show hasn't gotten crazy yet, so you might want to try catching up on it. I don't know where you'd find it. Maybe on Netflix if you want to look at the old seasons. Or maybe HBO Max, which is owned by Warner. So that might be another place where you can find the older episodes if you want to just see what they're doing before you catch up with the current season. Because like all these shows, they've got these endless series arcs. So if you tune in at random, yeah. Like episode 7, you wonder what the heck is going on. It's not like a Law and Order or something where it's like yeah. A new show every week. Here it's, you know, it's kind of like a mixture, so you have to do things like that. I don't know why we're getting started with this. You've seen UFOs?
Yes, on several occasions.
So tell us about those sightings.
So one of the most dramatic actually occurred, I believe, in March of 2011. And it was a really interesting sighting. And that, I will say, did kickstart a special interest I have in light anomalies, specifically the orb phenomenon, because it was this overcast night in March, and the cloud cover was like really, really low in the sky, just kind of to paint a picture of how the atmosphere was at the time. And my sisters and I were in the house. My mom had gone out to do some shopping, and suddenly she gave us a call, and she said, "You got to go outside. There's something in the sky."
We'll be right back with more action. Jillia, by the way, is probably the youngest guest we've ever featured on the show. Because I guess everybody we have is, you know, 83 or something. We have Tim Swartz, who isn't quite that old. Gene Steinberg, who's getting there. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The U.S. East Coast is battling blizzard conditions, with many places now reporting whiteout conditions. Officials are telling people to not travel if they don't have to. New York Governor Kathy Hochul.
High winds, heavy snow, blizzard conditions, all the elements of a classic nor'easter, and that's what we're dealing with right now.
In New Rochelle, New York, a snowplow driver is reinforcing just how dangerous it is on the roads.
I expected worse. Just keep scraping until it stops and we can salt it up.
Over 10 million people in the Northeast are under blizzard warnings. The National Weather Service is warning that the nor'easter could bring near-record snowfall and blizzard conditions to most of New England. Power outages are widespread, and thousands of flights have been canceled due to the storm. This is USA Radio News. A new strain of the Omicron variant has been detected.
Just as the Omicron variant starts to die down in parts of the United States, scientists have their eye on another coronavirus variant spreading rapidly in parts of Asia and Europe. It's officially called Omicron BA.2. And this week, cases were detected in California, Texas, and Washington. As far as how these new variants are detected, Dr. Diane Hess tells USA Radio News.
So we don't know much about the new variant. So really, variants are not tested frequently. Probably less than 20% of all COVID tests have variant testing done. Those are tests that are done in the state health department level usually. Even physicians who are treating patients, like critical care patients in the hospital, they don't know what variant their patients have. Usually, if you find out the variant, it'll probably be weeks later because it's just not a test that's done commonly and it's not done in the hospital often.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
This is Big the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. Exactly according to my plan.
I'll tell you what, if I start sounding like that, put me away. Zelia, let's get back to that sighting you were talking about.
Sure thing, but you can't make me laugh like that right before a break. That was hilarious. Anyways, yeah, so my mom calls with that fantastic X-Files line, there's something in the sky. So my sisters and I run outside, and sure enough, it was amazing to see because hanging in the sky, I want to say only about two and a half stories in the air, there are these four perfectly spherical kind of amber orangish lights. What had apparently occurred is my mom was driving back from the store when she looked and she thought she saw a huge construction crane, you know, with big lights on it. And then suddenly she realized that in the sprawling metropolis of Beaver Dam, there actually was no giant construction site at that time. Then she realized that, as a matter of fact, there was actually nothing underneath the lights. You know, they weren't attached to anything. They were simply these four lights in the sky. So that's when she called us. We went outside, and sure enough, there they were. Immediately, my first thought is, it's really easy to mistake, you know, glow balloons or those, like, the Chinese lanterns for something truly anomalous. But these things, there was no mistaking them. They were perfectly spherical. It wasn't like a flickering light. It was a totally even kind of glow. They were low enough that you could really make out, you know, the detail or lack thereof. And you could also make out that there was absolutely nothing behind them, yet they were traveling very slowly in this fixed parallelogram-type formation. And so my mom pulled up, got out of the car, we're just watching them, and then one by one, they started blinking very slowly, but, you know, in a very fixed sort of pattern. One would start blinking, and then it would blink faster, and then it was gone. And then the next did the same, and the next did the same, and the next did the same. And again, to rule out the Chinese lantern thing, nothing remained when the lights went out. They just absolutely vanished. My favorite part of the story, though, is the fact that we were standing there, you know, just waiting to see if possibly something else might happen, or, you know, they might come back or whatever. And this kid comes tearing down the road, and he cuts across our lawn, across the street, and he goes into his house, and he slams the door. And so, of course, we're all standing there like, well, he obviously saw something. So my mom and I trekked across the street, knocked on the door. This kid answers, and he is terrified. We didn't even need to formulate the entire question of, did you see those lights? When he started shaking his head and going, no, 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 you don't get it. I was at the Washington School playground, and they came over. Then they came over again. And so apparently he must have thought that, you know, this was finally the Martian invasion or something, and decided that he should run home, because you could tell he was totally shaken by what he'd observed. And, you know, it's interesting because, I mean, there was nothing malevolent or, you know, even super duper close about this sighting, but it still had such an effect on this kid, you know. Yeah, it was truly amazing, though.
You see that, though, with a lot of people who have had somewhat close encounters like that with you know, object in the sky, where they're just suddenly possessed with this unreasonable fear. Afterwards, they can't even explain why they suddenly got so afraid. So, I mean, you know, I could see this kid, you know, suddenly hit with this overwhelming fear, and for a lot of people who have had no previous experience or no real knowledge of the phenomena, it really can. I mean, it can just overwhelm your brain.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't imagine, like, that is the one problem with having been so interested in this for so long, is that I do feel like I'm a little bit dulled to, like, you know, if it were to happen, I always wonder how my response would be, you know, if I'd be too busy kind of cataloging it to really experience it.
Well, that's like the ghostly phenomena. You had said in the previous part of the show that, you know, you weren't sure whether or not your personal experiences may have anything to do with your interest in the subject, but I think that it goes along the lines of, because people like us are so aware of this, that when anything extraordinary happens, you're just, you know, immediately honed in on it. While other people, if something weird happens, you know, a lot of people's natural reaction is, well, you know, they'll just ignore it, or there has to be a logical explanation, and then just forget about it. While you and me and Gene, we just immediately like, oh, that's weird. I got to write this down.
Yeah, exactly.
And one of the other things I wanted to comment from when you were talking about your experience when you were 14 years old, I mean, that is a very common haunting phenomena of like a doppelganger type.
Yes.
And I've seen it a lot in poltergeist, you know, where normally you don't see any kind of apparitions, but a lot of times when you do, it tends to mimic somebody from the household.
Well, and the eeriest thing about it, too, and this I didn't piece together for quite some time, is my mom has had consistently, like, throughout her life, people who see, quote-unquote, her doppelganger. Not just, you know, my sisters and I, who have had many experiences in the house where, and these were mainly when we were younger, we would think that she was would wake us up in the morning. And I know, too, you know, whenever there's something that occurs at the boundary between sleep and wakefulness, there's always some question there as to whether it's hypnagogia or what. But, yeah, that was a pretty common occurrence that just kind of petered out as we got older. But she had a very dramatic, I almost look at it as kind of an out-of-body experience when she was young, actually, that also included a previous UFO sighting with a sister of hers. So I could get into that if you guys would like to hear it.
Oh, yeah. Details, please.
Of course. So this occurred, oh, gosh, I'm terrible with years and ages, but I believe my mom was probably around 10 years old when the first occurrence happened, 10 or 11. It actually comes from a very large family. She's one of 9 siblings, and 7 of those are girls. So she was with one of her older sisters at this time. So it starts out that my mom was watching TV downstairs. And incidentally, too, I should probably say, the house where they were currently living at this time had a lot of classic haunting-type activity, including really kind of outlandish stuff such as, like, prophetic dreams and even cases of ESP. Hmm. And so that was the house where they were living. Now, my mom was watching TV downstairs, and she was underneath the room, which they had literally called the ghost room, because no matter who had that as their bedroom at the time, they would have experiences, whether it was bed shaking or, again, the prophetic dreams, really intense activity there. So So her older sister was up in the ghost room, which was her room at the time. Now, this is where the story gets interesting. And for years, before I was really interested specifically in ufology, and especially high strangeness ufology, it never made much sense to me. Because they were in those two separate locations, and suddenly they were next to each other, watching an object that my mom first thought was the moon outside of the window. And at this point in time, they were both downstairs. And suddenly, my mom, according to her recollection, said that she realized it wasn't the moon because the moon was actually over in another direction. So they were just looking at this large glowing object in the sky. My mom remembers seeing it fade away in a kind of mist, while my aunt remembers saying, "Let's just go to bed." So that was the, you know, UFO encounter. Now, after that, about a year later, my aunt had actually moved out to an apartment in the same city, but she was not in the house at the time, and she woke up in the middle of the night and saw my mom standing in her bedroom. And so she apparently was really confused as to what my mom would be doing in her apartment in the dead of night. And so she turned the light on and said, "Lori, what are you doing here?" And my mom was gone. Now, again, we could write this off as hypnagogia, but there's a little fact that makes it very strange, and that's the fact that she could properly ID exactly what my mom was wearing and how her hair was styled the night before. Even though, of course, she wasn't actually at that location. And my aunt actually also has had recurrent strange dreams involving orbs of light. She's had other dreams involving like out-of-body type experiences following this sighting. So that's one of the weirdest things kind of in my family's weird history.
Well, you think here, of course, that because your family has this weird history that you inherited the disease?
So to speak, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I know a lot of researchers speculate that it seems as though this phenomenon follows families. You know, I don't know how much there is to that. You know, I do wonder, it does, at least in my case, it really seems as though we all, for some reason, are just likelier to experience things. Because I have cousins that have had UFO encounters, nothing as dramatic as, you know, the ones that I've had or that my mom and my aunt have had. But, you know, just here and there, you know, just it seems as though odd stuff does pop up wherever we are.
We're going to be somewhere in a moment. Zelia, Jean, and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise at gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise at gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Hi, this is James Fox. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
From Brooklyn, New York, the one and only Tim Swartz.
Yeah, that's right.
You're trying to be someone from Brooklyn, okay? Zelia Edgar joining us this week on the Paracast. She is author of a book called Just Another Tinfoil Hat Presents. And she's presenting right now her own personal experiences and that of her family, which becomes fascinating, unusual. And what about your neighbors and friends? Have they had weird stuff happen to them?
Neighbors, not that I know of, but don't really talk to my neighbors much now. I'm sort of joking there.
Okay, therein lies a tale. Speak more.
Oh, no, just nothing. Just they're kind of keep to themselves sort of people. So that's, you know, that's how it is. But no, the neighbor.
It's not the Adams family, is it?
Well, as I said, it is a Gothic Victorian house that I live in. So you can take that as you will. As a matter of fact, people in town do refer to it as the haunted house, which is kind of funny. Because my sister's best friend, girl that lives down the street, they've been friends for like, I think, 12 years now. Like, they've grown up together. Her brother heard through his work or something like that. When we moved in, I guess a bunch of people were like, well, someone moved into that house. So, you know, I think it has a lot to do with the fact. I mean, it's a classic Gothic Victorian. It's built in the shape of a cross to resemble the old cathedrals. We've got these 4 kind of twisted, gnarled trees out front. So, it, you know, it fits that bill. Yeah, some friends of mine, you know, I mean, I open, whenever I meet someone new, I kind of open with the icebreaker of, hey, have you ever seen a UFO? You know, it gets varied reactions, but I was surprised the majority have been positive. You know, not positive as yes, I have, but positive as like, you know, interested. Even though a surprising number of people will come forward and be like, you know, there was this one time. And then they go on to say the one time. And that's always fun.
You know, years ago, the late Stan Friedman would tell us at his lectures, he would ask people how many saw a UFO, and hands would be raised, pretty decent number. And then how many of you reported that experience, and very few hands would remain up.
Yep.
Because I think you can ask people all over the place, have you had anything weird happen to you? And somewhere along the line, for many people, they'll say yes. I want to focus here as we get on with your past to the future. This book, what was the intent to cover in this book? Because tinfoil hat, of course, has a funny meaning.
It's an interesting title. So obviously you're covering some unusual events, which I'm going to ask you about specifically in a moment. But what was your thought in mind in putting this book together?
Well, for one thing, writing a book, and specifically a paranormal book, this has been like pretty much a lifelong dream of mine. So every time I see the book, I'm actually like, this is just so surreal. Like, I couldn't be happier with the fact that it's actually come to fruition. So that, to me, has been very important to me to get that out there. Because growing up, I was so interested in this that it was the researchers, the investigators, and the authors. Those were the people I really looked up to. Yeah, it means so much to me. So my book is I consider it sort of a companion piece to my YouTube channel, because each of the cases that I've included in the book, I've previously covered on my channel. However, in the book, I was able to include more information and spend a little bit more time specifically on the speculation regarding these cases, which was just phenomenal, because I love to be able to kind of theorize and postulate what these bizarre occurrences might mean. And so to be able to have more space to include extra facts and to, kind of ruminate on them longer, and of course to kind of have an inconclusive conclusion, so to speak, that was just, it was phenomenal to be able to kind of have that space to do that. And yeah, I do try and keep, obviously I look at the paranormal in a very serious light. So often it is relegated just to kind of be the comedic end of the newsreel type thing. And that's definitely not how it should be treated. On the flip side, I do also try and treat it, on the flip side of being respectful of it, I also try and maintain kind of, a decent sense of humor about it. Because it seems to me that there is some element of the paranormal that is kind of trickster-esque, and it does kind of seek to sort of befuddle and confuse in, my experience with it and also my experience going through these many cases. And so I think that that's one of the best ways to kind of not lose yourself is to sort of reflect that back towards it. So it's this kind of blend of, we have to take this seriously, but not take ourselves too seriously.
Speaking of which, case number 9. This goes back to something like 1960, Eagle River, Wisconsin, Joe Simonton. Now, I should tell you that years and years ago, I used to listen to the late Long John Neville's all-night radio show. He was the pioneer of paranormal radio broadcasters, ahead of Art Bell and everybody. There was Long John. We wouldn't have this kind of radio if it was not for Long John. So he has on this farmer from Eagle River, Wisconsin. And, it's so easy to dismiss this as just another wacky contact claim. But it always struck me as being something a bit more. Tell us about it.
Well, you have just brought up possibly my all-time favorite case. And that is a difficult thing for me to say because each of these cases is near and dear to me. But Joe Simonton, that encounter is in a league of its own, in my opinion. And yeah, it also occurred in my home state of Wisconsin, which, that's just an added bonus for me. So in April of 1961, chicken farmer and plumber Joe Simonton, and also part-time Santa Claus, I always forget that, apparently he would dress up as Santa Claus for the Eagle River Christmas events. And by all accounts, I actually was able to dig up a lot of old newspaper articles about this particular case, because it made the rounds, especially in Wisconsin. Even the Madison papers carried articles on it. So he seemed to be, a very respected kind of member of the community, not just some kook that, just sort of would make stuff up for fun. So anyway, he was eating breakfast around 11 o'clock in the morning when he said that what first caught his attention was this bizarre noise coming from outside of his house. He said that it sounded like knobby tires on wet pavement. Upon looking outside, he saw, for all intents and purposes, a classic mid-century saucer. He claimed that it looked like two inverted bowls put together with these exhaust pipes around the rim. It was made out of this gleaming, shiny silver material. So he went outside for a closer look. And when he approached the object, a hatch opened in the side of it, and inside he could see three beings. And he claimed that they looked like short Italian men. They were each wearing an identical turtleneck two-piece suit with a matching black, knit helmet. And the leader, the person he believed was the leader, was denoted as such by a red track stripe down the side of the pant leg. Now, the leader approached the hatch and passed Simonton this luminous goblet, which appeared to be made out of the same material as the craft. And somehow Simonton took it as meaning that they needed water. So, and this is just so kind of weird Wisconsin sort of mannerism, Simonton wasn't really freaked out. He was just like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll get you some water. So he went inside, he got the water, he came back, and he traded the water to the being for 3 of the alien pancakes. Now, you can actually find a picture of Simonton holding on to one of the pancakes, and it doesn't really look like a pancake at all. It kind of looks more like this, almost like a Twill cookie or a really strange type of cracker. It's perforated with these holes in it. He took the 3 pancakes, and no sooner did he do so, but the being then was kind of retracted back into the saucer by this weird hook on the back of its clothing connected to almost like a pulley. And then the hatch closed, and the saucer shot off into the sky. So, obviously, it's a very strange encounter, even if we just look at the fact that he was able to be so close to the entities he exchanged for the water. But the alien pancakes have got to be the weirdest aspect of this case.
I want to ask you about that because they analyzed these pancakes. But before I do that, we should point out something, too. This guy did not have a track record of being deceptive. And understand also, those of us from the big city don't realize that the esteemed responsible business people in small communities could be farmers. What's his name? Senator John Tester. He's from Montana. An esteemed member of the Senate. He's a farmer.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, that's really common. You know, again, I've grown up in small Wisconsin towns. And, yeah, some of the most respected members of the community often are farmers. And, you know, too, I mean, if you actually look at how this case went down, there was a local judge that knew Simonton that even interviewed him. And even though he kind of, you know, was tongue-in-cheek about the beings, because, of course, he asked if they looked like Martians, effectively, you know, at the end of the day, he vouched, too, for Simonton's honesty. And, you know, pretty much kind of the vibe was also, why would he make something like this up? And, of course, after everything was said and done, Simonton also said that because of all the fuss and how it all turned out, if he had other encounters, he actually would not report them. I was able to find one account by a researcher from, I think, a Detroit-based UFO research group that claimed that he did visit with Simonton many years later, and Simonton told him confidentially that he had had further encounters, but he would never go public with them.
We're going to have more about Joe Simonton and the analysis of that flapjack. Is it something that maybe they should produce over at McDonald's, mass production? Zelia, Sheen, and Tim, you're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes, too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard, and when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.